Good morning. Can you hear me all right? Everybody hear me? Okay. Well, this morning, Brother Denny Sennett will be ordained as an elder and a minister in the church. So I'm bringing an ordination sermon. And the tendency sometime in the congregation might be, well, that's for them. But you need to listen to this. Give you a little better understanding of what an elder minister's job is. It's a shepherd. I was talking to Brother Denny yesterday, talking about being shepherds. David said to the Lord, "Your rod and your staff give me comfort." We don't mind the staff when the shepherd used the staff, but the rod was a heavy implement. It was used to hit bears and wolves and lions, keep them away from the sheep when they got that close, but it was also used to break a rebellious sheep's leg once in a while. When the sheep kept wandering and the staff no longer worked, the shepherd would break a leg, splint it, and then carry the sheep. And it's said by the time that leg healed and the splint was taken off, the sheep stayed close to the shepherd. How many of you know we all need to be close to our shepherd? I'm not talking about this shepherd. I'm talking about the shepherd, the shepherd. Amen. But as elders, our job is to pastor flock. There's some people call me pastor, and that's fine. There's nothing unscriptural about that. But you actually have like five pastors here. And an elder's job is to oversee flock. And we will give an account of God, to God, and to Christ, of how we oversee the flock. And having said that, I want to read a text from an old man who's getting ready to die, in prison. He knows his trial hasn't went well this time. And he's giving instructions to a young preacher named Timothy, who became the first bishop at Ephesus. And that's not a fancy word. A bishop is a pastor, is an overseer. And the old man is giving him sound advice about how to conduct himself in the church and among God's people. And I say, don't listen to this and think, well, it's all directed at Brother Deming, because you need to pay attention to this. This applies to you also, whether you're ordained or not. Text is out of Second Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, and then we'll go through chapter 4 to verse 5. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Father, I thank you this day for your word. That never returns to you empty, but it always does what you send it out to do. I thank you for this gentleman who has submitted his life to your call. Lord, I ask a special blessing upon he and his wife, that they would grow closer together and especially grow closer to you in this time. Lord, he's hanging a target around his neck. And we know that these things are going to happen. Paul speaks of the suffering that this comes with the job. But Lord, we also know that according to your word, you've already won this battle. And we praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul makes a point here to point out to Timothy that all Scripture is breathed out by God. It means that all Scripture is divinely inspired, was another way that the commentators I read said the Greek could be translated. And if you do not believe that, you have no business going into the ministry or into the office of elder. Now, I know Brother Deming believes that. But it's sad that many today in seminary are being taught that the Bible is not the inerrant word of God. It's a combination of writings of men, so there's errors. I was reading a book of church laws from another denomination a while back, and it surprised me to see that, because at their inception, when they were born as a denomination, they taught that the Word of God was the inerrant Word of God, and now their articles say, we believe that the Bible is inspired by God, but it is not inerrant. Well, then what do you read it for? What do you base your life on it for? And brother, you're going to run into people in the church that will pick and choose which scriptures they believe are from God and which scriptures they will argue with you are from men. And I always like to point out to these people, it's funny that you believe the scriptures that talk about your salvation, but you refuse to believe those that teach you about sanctification, to walk in holiness. The early reformers in the Christian church, the early Restoration fathers, taught holiness of life as a necessity of coming to Christ, of being in Christ. The farther you go with Jesus Christ, the more holy, the more like Him you should be. That's only done through submission, as we sang this morning. Brother, there are times as a minister that some of the greatest struggles you will face will be the submission of your will to His will. You'll have these ideas, and they can be good ideas, they can be right, they can be for the right purpose, but I advise you as a brother, pray over them, because there's only so much you can do. You're one man, and with the support of your wife and the help of your wife, there's two of you doing these duties, but there's still only so much you can do. I like that Paul begins with the scripture, saying to the preacher, this is for you. This is to give you training in righteousness. Guard your ministry closely. Give no cause for the enemy or anyone else to blaspheme Jesus Christ through the things that you do or say. That's a big order. Even ministers, we stumble and fall. But it should be the forefront of our mind that we not, as Paul says, put any stumbling block before anyone to cause them to fall and perish. But having said that, let me say this. Not everybody in the body of Christ receives the preaching of the word with joy. Some of the strongest opposition I have ever met to the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word has come from within the flock. And I'm going to tell you something, brother, when you first start out in ministry, it'll blindside you. You'll preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and somebody is going to come up and say, I didn't like that. I didn't like what you said. Something I've learned over the years that I will pass on to you, let God defend you. Preach the word. Paul says, preach the divinely inspired word. First of all, study the word to show yourself approved. You are not aloof from anyone in the congregation. You will be formed and molded into the image of Jesus Christ by your study and submission to the Word and to His Spirit. Allow His Spirit to have His way. And let me say to you, hang on. I know that you've been through trials, but you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm here to tell you. God will allow trials in your life because He wants to mold you into the image of Jesus Christ. And there are things in you He cannot use, not for His glory. One of my biggest obstacles in 15 years of ministry has been my ego. I like to be right. I don't like being wrong. I don't like having to say I'm sorry or I was wrong. I said the first 3 years of ministry, I ate so much crow, it just every time I coughed, I expected feathers to come up. Because I thought I had it all figured out and I was grounded, and I'd shoot my mouth off and the Holy Spirit would go, what'd you say that for? You go back and apologize. Oh, man, Lord, they started it. Lord said, I don't care who started it, I'm going to finish it. Go back and apologize. One time in particular, I remember that the Lord said that, and I couldn't believe it. In fact, I said no. For 2 weeks, I said no. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not going to apologize. They can apologize. And then He showed me something. First off, He said, Rick, you're a more mature Christian than they are. They're just starting their walk. And He also said, you are going to cause them to stumble. Because if you don't make peace, they're going to become bitter and become defiled. And He said, you're going to cause this weak sister and brother to perish for whom Christ. Well, now, Paul said that in Corinthians. Yeah. That's how God talks to you. Y'all said you believed it was a God-inspired word and understand that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And I had to put my hat in my hand and go back to that couple and apologize. And I'll never forget, his wife looked at me and she said, Jesus might forgive you. My husband might forgive you, but I'll never forgive you. And I looked at her and said, sweetheart, that means you'll never be forgiven. I said, I wouldn't put my place in that position. Who do you think you are? I'm nobody. I said, I did what the Lord's asked me to do. I said, I hope someday. And it was just something I said. Figure that. Seems like when I open my mouth, people get angry. It's just something that was said that she mistook. I told her, if you're not saved when you're baptized, all you do is get wet. That's all I said. She said, well, you're judging my faith. No. She said, I got baptized and I didn't feel any different. I said, well, what do you expect to feel? She was very offended. In fact, she told me I was demon possessed. Yeah, I said, that's all right. They talk to Jesus like that all the time. Now you're comparing yourself to Jesus. Well, yeah, He's my master. Remember who you represent, brother. It's an awesome task to carry the gospel, Christ, to a dying world But man, I can't think of any other job I'd rather have. Ours is the gospel of reconciliation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not have to perish. That's eternal death. That's not eternal unconsciousness. That's an eternity in the darkness that they chose to walk in this life. God loved so much that he made a way to get us out of it. And you lead sheep. You don't drive them. It's taking me a while to learn that. Sometimes I want to drown them in the ditch. I'm just being honest with you. Now, we come to the part in the message that here's some of the stuff that people don't like. They don't want to hear that. We are to teach the will of God and to point out Jesus Christ till he comes back. I don't have a problem with that. The clincher in that is the will of God. You're going to find a lot of people in the church pray, "Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My will be done on earth and in this church as it's done in heaven. After all, I give a lot of money. And I know that my will and thy will are like this." Am I trying to be mean? No. I'm trying to be honest. The elder is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the lead shepherd, the head shepherd. Brother, this job doesn't pay much, but boy, the retirement benefits out of this. The Apostle Peter said to the elders, "We'll be faithful if we'll pass the flock, if we'll guard the flock, if we'll teach only the word." He said there's reserved for us a crown of glory when Jesus Christ comes to give. That crown doesn't fit a big head. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Let him exalt you. Don't let people put you on a pedestal. Doomed to fall and happen. Paul says, preach the word. That's what was read over me at my ordination, and I can't think of any better advice. Preach the word. Don't preach current events. Don't preach the stuff you see online. Don't preach that the world's coming to an end unless the Holy Spirit tells you to preach that. Preach the word. In Isaiah 55, God, in speaking to the prophet, is talking about his servant who was going to come, the Messiah. And God said something very revealing to us, the church. He said, "As the rain and the snow that I send out to water the earth doesn't return to me, it does what I send it to do." He said, that's the word. My word that I send out of my mouth will accomplish what I send it out to do. As long as you preach the word, you are in God's will. The Holy Spirit will bless it. Just don't get too swelled up thinking you're the one that's saving these people or you're the one that's bringing them around. I've had people jump on me. "I'm tired of you preaching and stomping on my feet." I don't stomp on your feet. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All I do is deliver the word. He's the stomper. He's the thumper. He's that gentle, small voice that says, "Walk this way." But God is ordained through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. That keeps me humble. You know, God has ordained the foolishness of what I preach to save those who believe, as long as I preach the word. Kelly Post. We're to be ready in season and out of season. I like what Dr. Adam Clark said. Whenever there's an opportunity, and when there is none, strive to make one. In all circumstances. People want to talk about the weather. The preacher ought to be talking about the weatherman. Yeah. Jesus Christ needs to be the center focus of our lives, and not just the preacher. I'm talking now to everybody in here. He needs to be the center of your life. Jesus wants to be your bread and your water. Paul says, unto us he's been made wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? And that's the minister's job. It's all about Jesus. That's the elder's responsibility within the body of Christ to make sure it's always and all about Jesus. And if we find something that isn't, then we root it out. Paul told the Ephesian elders, be overseers of the flock which the Holy Spirit has put you in charge of. We're going to lay hands on this brother, and we're going to recognize his call, but it'll be the Spirit of Jesus Christ that will ordain him to this task. There will be spiritual gifts passed on to Brother Deming through this ordination. This is a formality in one sense, but this is a very awesome thing we're doing in the other. We're saying to Almighty God, we recognize and believe the call you've placed on this brother's life, and we're giving the right hand of fellowship. And this is the behavior we expect out of it. An elder is accountable to the other elders first, well, to Jesus Christ first, then the other elder, then to the congregation. Paul told Timothy that the word of God will instruct a man in the preaching and teaching of righteousness. It will affect your life. It should affect your worldview. It should affect everything about you. If you believe it's the God-breathed word. If you don't, throw it away and read comic books or whatever it else is you like to read. Don't try to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said the word is beneficial. Here's the part a lot of the church has done a lot. To reprove. Confute the false teachers. When false doctrine comes in, we get it out. We don't permit it to stay for 5 minutes. What's happened in a lot of churches is the elders lose their backbone. And we don't want to cause trouble. We don't want people mad at us. So instead of refuting false doctrine or refuting behaviors that bring strife to the body of Christ and dissension instead of unity, we look the other way or we stick our head in the sand. Brother, don't ever let that happen to you. You be the voice. If the other elders choose to look the other way, you rebuke them and bring them back into the way. Jesus Christ. I don't like that word, reprove. Nobody likes to be reproved. Paul said it's to be done with patience and teaching. Don't reprove anybody you can't back it with Scripture. If you can't back it with Scripture, keep your mouth shut and keep it to yourself. Because all you're going to do is cause trouble. And you're going to run into people in the body of Christ and say, well, I know it says in the Bible somewhere. And you're unarmed. I don't mean that area. You're unarmed. Don't come to a gunfight with a knife. Don't come into a argument without the word. I remember one lady telling me, well, it is in the Bible. It says God helps those who help themselves. I said, Benjamin Franklin said that. Well,
I know somewhere in the Bible it says, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I said, I'm not sure who said that, but it's not in the Scripture.
He looked at me and said, you're getting kind of preachy. I said, you started it.
Always use the word. Paul says, rebuke. I'm pretty good at that, which has been testified to me on more than one occasion. Rebuke. Reprove cuttingly and severely those who will not abandon their sin. There's gentleness, brother, for those who are unlearned and ignorant. And no, ignorant is not disrespect. They're unaware. And that's when the Apostle Paul says, as the nurse their children, to love on them, bring them back, say, this is what the first. Sometimes you'll get folks in the body of Christ who will plant their feet and look defiantly and say, Paul said, reprove them. Rebuke them with the word. And again, know what you're talking about. Be able to show them. This does not make better than them. In fact, you better be practicing what you preach. I ran from the call to preach for 15 years as a Christian because I'd read in James where he said, my brothers, let not many of us be teachers, for we will receive a greater condemnation. In other words, if you're not practicing what you preach, oh, you're in trouble. You become a Pharisee. Jesus said, you lay heavy burdens on people, but you won't lift one finger to help. The Apostle Paul was talking to a young man who was a pastor of a Greek church. The Greeks loved physical pleasure, sexual pleasure, drunkenness, partying. And Paul said, sometimes you got to cut them. Getting cut is not pleasant. That sometimes you got to cut a brother, get their attention. A bad thing. Children are like slab-sided you. First, you got to get their attention, then you can talk to them. He was right. Well, I have found brothers that a lot of sheep are that way. Sometimes you got to get their attention, and the painful thing about it is they'll still not love them. That wasn't very lovey. You're supposed to love me. Well, I do. I'm trying to warn you. When I went through boot camp, after I got out, because they don't treat you like a human until you get out, one drill sergeant that was one of my trainers, I was talking to him one day, he said, you ever wonder why we're so foul-mouthed? Hard on you guys? I said, yeah, several times I've asked that. He said, because they bring us a bunch of civilians who are just totally idiots. And they say, make soldiers out of them in 8 weeks, 10 weeks. So he said, we keep it short, we keep it dirty, and we keep it mean, because then we'll know you remember. Now, I'm not saying, advocating in the church that we keep it dirty, but a brother or sister that refuses to repent, take the gloves off. And it doesn't mean that you don't love them. It means you are stepping up to the rod of God. You lay the shepherd's staff down and pick up the rod. And as Paul, you say, do you want me to come to you in gentleness? Shall I bring the rod? That's hard. I don't like confrontation. I really don't. But I'd rather have the whole body of Christ upset, stand before Christ
say, why didn't you approve that? Why did you tell them that sentence okay? I don't want to hear that. Strive to fulfill the ministry God's called. Strive well. Say everything. Exhort, also exhort with the word. Comfort the feeble-minded. Shy. Those tempted. How? Word. Teaching. Patience. I had a guy tell me one time that used to attend this church. He said, all you do is teach the word. You need to figure out something else different to do to draw more. We're a church. You know, we're trying to make disciples. I think teaching the word is how you make disciples. And he didn't get it. Now I'm talking about more outings and activities. I'm all for outings if you plan them. Because I don't think good about things like that. Hold it. Word. And you'll never go wrong. You'll never have to second guess. Though the whole world may line up against you, Jesus Christ will stay right beside the whole time. He warned us, all of us, that your enemies may become those who are closest to you. God has placed an awesome calling upon us. We recognize the calling. We're going to ordain to that path. I'm not your boss, Christ is your boss. I'm a co-worker. I will help you any way I can. So are the other elders. Draw from their wisdom. Okay. That's close. I'm done. Miss Mary wanted the kids up here to do this 5 inches straight. So, we're getting ready to ordain Brother Denny. Before we do, I got a prayer request here from Denise. Pray today for Larry Bowles. Did I say that right? Bowles, I'm sorry. Ellen's son-in-law, complications, pancreatic cancer, very ill and in the hospital. So be lifting him up in prayer. If you like, the elders will pray for you at the end of the service. Any other requests? He only brought his body right now. Brother Denning, would you please come forward? For the elders. Lay our hands on brother and pray. Holy righteous Father in heaven, we thank you for the call that placed on Brother Demi's life, recognize his call, thank his willingness to submit an answer. Father, I pray for your blessing to be a him of death. I pray fill him with your spirit, getting ready for the battle that you called him into. Father, that you would impart spiritual gifts unto him, prepare him for this ministry. We're not sure where all you're sending him or having him to do. But we are recognizing Paul, and we ordain him in this church as an elder and as a preacher of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're getting kind of lax for hugging. God bless. This is your certificate of ordination. That's an official document. I want to set that square. No? Yeah. We don't have the stars. God bless. Looking forward to working.
Amen. You get a chance after the service, come shake hands with him and welcome him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. We're having lunch after the service. Please stay and eat. Also, again, remember tonight, 6 p.m. at First Baptist, Brother Jerry Orth from the Assemblies will be bringing the message. Please come. Any of y'all who can, please come tonight. Let's gather as a community of believers and worship Jesus Christ. Anything else? Be remembering Larry, this person that Denise brought up, Ellen's son-in-law with the pancreatic cancer. Who has our closing prayer? I didn't put it full. Okay. You want to close for us? Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful today. We are thankful for Denon and Jackie, and we just praise you for this call. We ask that you lead us and go with us, this congregation, clear our hearts that we may live more holy for you. In Jesus' name, amen.